y'all sign it? Pick it out and let's sing it. Not gonna sing? You're not gonna sing?
I said, what are you going to sing?
Come on, we'll sing something. Come on, we'll sing something. We might put two or three songs together as one, you know.
If I could sign my mother's word, I'm free, I'd sing it by all my daughter's words.
You try it?
I don't, no.
Well, you're gonna, you remember it, don't you?
Do you know that, about, not all of it?
Family conference, excuse us.
I don't know all of it.
Do you? What I know, and you know, we might.
Okay. Okay, we'll try.
Okay. I reckon. Shackled by a heavy burden, need the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that filled my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Now what's next then?
Since I met the Savior.
Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I shall never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole.
Amen. Isn't it good to be in God's house today? Amen. Appreciate you being here. Even after our singing, you can say amen. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. All right. Now, I feel led to do something this morning, and Brother Donnie may not agree with this. You tell him if you want to. You know, and I'm sure he'll know about it. But I was talking to Brother Bill a while ago, and Brother Bill, you egging me on, so I'm going to do it, okay? I was talking to him, and he was talking about, you know, he wished he was, you know, the Lord would touch him. And there's nothing in what we do except pray for him. We can't do anything else, but we know a God that can touch him and heal him. And he asked us to pray over him, and not like somebody else does, but like the Baptists do, okay? And y'all don't mind us doing this, I'm gonna do it. If you mind, it don't make no difference. I'm gonna do it anyway. You may not ever have a dang here no more, but that's okay. But you know, this is biblical, because the Bible says that there be one among you sick, let him call the elders of the church and pray for him. Does it not say that? May not be those exact words, but that's what it means. Does he have an anointing oil up here? Do you know?
It's special. And under there, it's a little bottle under there. Should be.
That's it. That's hand sanitizer.
You see it?
Oh, I see it now.
See it? I thought it was. He has done it, James, so don't worry about it. It's perfect.
Well, I figured he had. Bill, you don't feel like coming up here, do you?
Huh?
All right.
I bet you can't physically lay hands on it, but it's
you don't mind me doing this stuff.
No,
you asked me to.
Yes, sir.
Did you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
You was laying hands on it then.
So. I should have prayed that God didn't put me for it.
Oh, that's
okay. So anybody that wants to pray with us and touch each other. I was just kidding about Brother Donnie because I believe he believes just about like I do. Pretty much so. So I'm not going to worry about it at all. I got a little bit of. All right, if you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, I believe most of you do, we want to go to the book of Daniel this morning. And by the way, it's in the Old Testament to help you out a little bit. And not only is it in the Old Testament, it's right behind the book of Ezekiel. If you know where those are, you can find it pretty easy. And I pray that this morning you'll receive a blessing as we preach the Word of God to you. Daniel chapter 11. If you will, there's a verse of scripture in here that I'd like to share with you this morning, and maybe it'll help you a lot. And I noticed one thing about this church: you're faithful, and praise the Lord for that. He does not ask any more of us than that. He tells us to be faithful. And that's what he wants us to be, faithful to God's word, faithful to the church, faithful to living for him. Now in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32, I want to start reading to you. Has everybody found the Bible? No, I knew you knew where the Bible was. Have you found the scripture that I called out? Okay, if you have, raise your hand and then we'll go to it. All right. Chapter 11, verse 32, the Bible says, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." I want you to, if you have a pen and you mark in your Bible, I want you to go back and And then there's the scripture right there, and start with, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Underline that, if you will. And every time that you go through reading God's word, and every time that you thumb through, maybe just be thumbing through, looking for something, you read that as you pass that line that you put under that scripture. All right, verse 33. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the gods of God, or God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that his determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his father, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and the God of whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thou shall he do the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north, and shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries, and they shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. Father, thank you again for the word of God. We ask, Lord, that you'll bless it in a special way today, Lord. Strengthen each one that's here through the word. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us as we try to preach the word. Give us the fresh anointing that we need. And thank you for everything that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We realize today that this scripture here is speaking of the time of the end when the beast of the tribulation shall come on the scene. Now I want you to know, if you don't already, the tribulation period comes after the child of the king or the saint of God is called out. That's when that tribulation comes. And the beast is one that shall flatter those who do wickedly. But this word says the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Now the basic problem in the church today is that people just don't know God. They don't know God like they ought to know God. God is a God that loves us. They don't know God as big as some other people see God. But God is just as big and is able to work in our lives and in the churches. And we're so thankful that He's able to. His grace is sufficient for all needs. He knows everything about us, and we ought to want to know everything about Him, because He's the one that loves us and cares for us. And no one ever cared for us like Jesus. I always try to say that because I realize that He's the one that helps us along the way. I realize today that even though when we do wrong, He speaks to us through the Word of God and tells us that we're wrong. He shows us that we're wrong. We have to confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we thank God that we have a God that's able to do all things. Now the church is at a standstill because we see God in a small scale. We ought to look at God and know that He can do all things. You say, I've never seen God before. I know you haven't, but you see Him through an eye of faith. You see what He can do, and you've seen the evidence of what He can do when He saved your soul. That's the biggest miracle ever happened in my life and in your life also, is when Jesus Christ took your heart out and put a new heart in, never left a scar, because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. All things become new. So we know that He's able to do all things, do we not? We need to see God in a large scale, in other words. Amen? Somebody said, and I can tell you this myself, that we have two kinds of church members today. You know what they are? One of them is the porch setter, and the other is the path walkers. Amen? Which one are we today? Are we a porch setter or a path walker? There's members on the porch, those on the porch looking down on those on the pathway. And sometimes they're commenting on the mistakes that we're making. Because we do make mistakes. We do sin come short of the glory of God. There's not a one of us perfect today. But I know one that is perfect, and I know one that loves me and cares for me. Amen. Now, there's members on the porch. But look at the members on the pathway. The members on the pathway are moving, they're praying, they're making mistakes, but they're trying to do something for the glory and the honor of the Lord. That's what it's all about today, isn't it? We come here to worship Him in spirit and truth. And at least we leave to serve Him. I had that on the Community Baptist Church over the door, and I don't know whether it took it down yet or not, but they've taken some things down that I had up there, but that's all right. That's okay. But now, I don't know if I have, but I had that over my door, or I say my door. You know, that's the way we refer to things, don't we? Over the church door, we enter to worship and leave to serve. And how true that is. We're here today to worship the Lord in spirit and truth, and I hope that you will do it in your own way. Everybody has a different way of worshiping the Lord. And if He'd have made us all the same, it'd be a kind of a dull earth, wouldn't it? World. Sure it would. But He made us all different, and praise the Lord. Now, while Scripture relates to the period of the reigning of the beast, it takes a personal application. Personal application of the church today. While the wicked are flattered today, the person that really knows God is strong and is trying to do something. Now, while the Scripture relates to that, we're going to look at this. There are four things about people who know their God that I want to use this morning in my message. And I'll let you out early today. You can get you a good meal before the crowd gets there if you go out and eat. But anyway, first of all, we see that people who have great reactions with God. Great reactions with God. Do you have great reactions with God? When God talks to you? And by the way, you've heard this many times, many times, and many times. I know that. But when you're talking to God, you pray. And when God's talking to you, read God's Word. He speaks through God's Word, does He not? So we see we have reactions with God. When sin came on the scene in Daniel's life, he demonstrated the right kind of reaction to that wrong. And whether it be to eat, drink the wrong thing, or to quit praying, or to bow down and react in the manner of a believer, we need to have a great reaction to God. And the evidence of a people knowing God is their reaction to wrong. Their reaction wrong. Now, our reaction to sin and to wickedness is evident as to whether we know God or not. Our reaction to the God-called leaders is evident whether we know God. And the Bible says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Now, with all the sin question today, what is your reaction? What is my reaction to them? You see, people who have great reactions with God know God. Now, number two is this. People who have great revelation of God. You see, Daniel, one of my favorite Bible characters, Daniel, prayed every day, three times a day, and he didn't pray to be seen as far as letting people know, but he did get on a window there where the king could know that he stood against what he said, because the king did not stand for anything toward God. So Daniel did. And so he prayed every morning, noon, and night. And when he did, he got in the window where they could see him, and the king could see him. You see, Daniel was thrown into the den of lions. But I said so many times, and you might have heard me say this before, but I believe that night he had peace in his heart because he'd been praying. And when you pray, you can get peace in your heart. He slept all night long. How would you like to be thrown into a den of lions with just even one in there? I wouldn't want to. But Daniel was. It didn't say how many, but I believe it was at least three or four, because he had three of them under him. He slept on top of them, and they were comfortable. You ever seen a lion that didn't look comfortable other than being afraid of him? As far as his hands concerned and everything, it looked like he would be comfortable to lay down on. I know somebody's looking like I'm crazy, but that's all right. God took care of Daniel, didn't he? He'll take care of us. We're living in a different generation, different time. I know that. And this generation, I tell you, the way that this generation is going, I don't believe it's going to be very long before the Lord steps out on the clouds and calls his children home. It could be today. It could be tonight. It could be any time. Close by, I'm sure. But here was a man that didn't worry about it. Daniel had a great revelation. One of the greatest revelations of God. His books filled with the visions of God and the future in God's plan and the end time of God's judgment. His book is filled with the visions. In this generation of permissiveness, and I tell you, kids are permitted to do most anything now, aren't they? But it's not their fault. It's the parents' fault. There's a lot of things that's wrong that we permit them to do so. Say, well, you know, everybody else does it. Why not our children do it? That's not the right attitude. That's the wrong attitude. And we ought to realize that. It's a different revelation, so to speak, in this generation. This generation is a generation of apostasy. What kind of revelation do we have of God? Now, if we had to draw a picture of God, what in your mind would you draw? I read a little joke, and I want to read it to you this morning. and maybe even smile about it. A kindergarten teacher was walking around observing her classroom with children while they were drawing pictures. As she got to one girl who was working diligently, she asked what the drawing was. And the girl replied, "I'm drawing God." And the teacher paused and said, "But nobody knows what God looks like." Without looking up at all from her drawing, the girl replied, "They will in a minute." Amen. So we're supposed to be having a revelation of God that we walk and talk, and just like we are a child of the King. Amen. All right. So he hinted that, and this generation has accepted. I hear people say, when they talk about God, a man upstairs. That goes all over me. He is not simply a man upstairs. Absolutely not. They promote that from Hollywood. But thank God I'm not from Hollywood. Jesus Christ, save my soul. And he keeps me from some of those things. And when I get out of God's will, now I might do some things that I shouldn't be doing. But when I get in God's will, then I don't, because God just makes me not. And the people of God still know their God now. He's still the creator. He's still the mighty God. He's still the ruler. He's still the great judge. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the bright and morning star. He is the fairest of 10,000 to our soul. He is our best friend in this life. He sticketh closer than a brother. He's the lily of the valley. He goes with us through the valley. And thank God he brings us out on the other side. So what is our revelation of God? That great revelation that Daniel had. Are we like Daniel? We ought to be in certain senses. We need a Mount Carmel experience when the people bowed down after Elijah's prayer and cried out, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And surely, the Lord, he is God." Amen. He's God this morning. He's all the things that I mentioned just a minute ago. And I can mention more. And I might should have. But he's the bright and morning star for our soul. When we wake up in the morning, because I'm kind of slow getting up sometimes. I feel like, I'm talking to someone who might feel the same way. I feel like every bone in my body is cracking, hurt. And just a little while after I've had my devotion, talked to the Lord, I begin to get feeling better. Isn't it good to know God? Isn't it good to know God as our Savior? Amen. And we have somebody that can help these old bones to feel better. And I don't know about Brother Bill, but I believe he feels better already. That's my faith. What does the Bible say? We walk by faith and not sight. He don't look like it, but he is like it. No, I'm just kidding, Brother Bill. I have to kid somebody once in a while. I always tell people, if I pick on you, you know I like you. And if I don't, you know I don't like you. That's just the way I am. But anyway, the people of God still know their God, and they know that he's still the creator. He's still the mighty God. Now, and that Elijah prayer, and they cried out, "The Lord, he is God." We need to keep our nose in the book. People today have that backwards. They keep the nose in everybody else's business. And forget about God's word. It's the truth, isn't it? You might not agree with me, but it's the truth. I told my wife the other day, I wish some people would just stay out of our business. It's our business. But, you know, you have to, if you're going to live on this earth, you got to learn to sort of keep on going no matter what. Ain't none of us, excuse me, ain't nobody here that don't have pains once in a while. And they don't have some kind of problem in their life to come. And if you haven't had them, watch out. When you get close to God, the devil is going to try his best to tear you down by doing something. And you know that, I know. But we need to keep our nose in the book. Never lose sight of our Lord and God Jesus Christ. Then the third thing I want to say to you is this. People who take great risks for God. You see, Daniel was one who took a lot of great risks for God. He, along with the Hebrew children. You know about the three Hebrew children? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Well, this child went to church one day and had to preach a priest on the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So he went home, and his mom and daddy asked him, says, did you enjoy church? He said, yeah, but I believe the preacher was a real estate man. I said, what do you mean? He was talking about your shack, my shack, and Abednego, a bungalow, I mean. Shadrach, Meshach, and the bungalow. Well, maybe Ben was. But there's the three Hebrew children thrown into the fire furnace, and they refused to yield their convictions about right and wrong. Did they not? Now, when Daniel went to his usual place of prayer after the decree of the king forbidding it, he took a great risk. He realized that the lions would be his destination. But the three Hebrew children, they refused to bow down to the image of the king. What happened there? Knowing that they were taking a great risk, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. But I'm telling you a secret. If you don't already know it, there was not a hair on their head singed. That's God's protection. What did the Bible say? That as they looked down in that fire, why, there's four men unharmed and walking down there. Who was that fourth man in the fire? It was God himself, wasn't it? You see, he was there with him. We might have things to come in our life, but God's there with us. That's what I'm trying to get to you. It's time that we as God's people took some great risks for God. We need to do what's right without any reservations whatsoever. And God will never let us down. Sometimes we think he will, but he will not. And I promise you that he will not let you down. You say he's already let me down. I beg your pardon. Beg your pardon. God still saying to us, prove me, try me, and I'll help you. He's the lily of the valley, as I said a while ago. And the water will not part, neither will the mountain move until we step out by faith. The walls will never fall until we're willing to risk it all for God. People who take great risks for God, that's Christians, isn't it? Christ-like people. People who know God. Now let's go on a little bit further. There's people who find rest in God. Daniel found a great rest in God that all the others of the kingdom could not find. But I'm going to tell you myself, use myself an illustration. If I'm right with God after I pray, or when I pray and ask God to help us and give us a good night's sleep, you know what He does? He gives us that good night's sleep. Last night was one of those nights. I slept. Woke up at 7 o'clock. I felt pretty good. Phone rung just a few minutes after that. And I knew what it was and who it was. Because I had peace in my heart. And you can have peace in your heart. And I believe that most of you do. But I'll go back again and talk about Daniel for a minute. The night that Daniel spent in the den of lions was restful for him. But the king walked the floor all night long worrying about Daniel and what those lions had done to Daniel. He couldn't sleep. He didn't rest at all that night. The king was at the den early in the morning crying out to Daniel. Daniel got up. I'm still here. I bet you if I was a betting man, I bet that the king just almost had a heart attack because he thought that Daniel would be gone. He was thinking all the way over there to the den of lions where Daniel was. He says, I got rid of one. I got rid of one of my people that didn't do what I wanted to do. But when he gets over there to that den of lions, he saw somebody there that he'd thrown in there, or had thrown in there. He was still alive, doing well. He had a peaceful night of sleep. And that's the way we can be as Christians. Peaceful night of sleep. The Bible clearly teaches us that there is a rest for the people of God. Hebrews 4:9, you don't have to turn there if you don't want to. But there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. I'm telling you this morning that God is a great God. God is a God of sufficiency. God is a God of grace and strength and mercy. God is a God of love. And He loves every one of us. God is a God that looks after us. We walk with Him. We talk with Him. And thank God that He is a God and a great God that we can put our trust in. This morning, that we can pray to. If we in God's will, we can pray to Him. And you know what? The Bible says He hears and answers prayer. He says, seek and I knock and it shall be opened. Seek and you shall find. Surely, if we knock on the heart's door, I know that you already noticed, because most people had noticed it. The picture of Jesus knocking on the door. There's not a doorknob on the outside. If the picture's right, that is. That means that you have to let Him in from the inside. Let him in yourself. And I believe he's in, but how is it everyday life of yours? And I'm speaking to myself also. How is he in your life? Do you know God like you ought to know God? Are we taking great risk for God? Are we enjoying the blessings of God? We can find rest in God. Would you stand this morning? We prayed this morning, and I'm asking you now, do we feel like that we need to get on this altar and pray, and the Lord, as he speaks to us, he'll speak to us. Know that everybody here claims to be saved.